We're going to call this meeting to order of the Brevard County School Board Redistricting Steering Committee. Today's Wednesday, July 11th. And first, in order for the meeting to operate within an appropriate professional environment, we respectfully request at this time that all beeper cell phones and other electronic devices be either turned off or put in the silence mode. If everybody would take their seats, please. And Mayor Jim Nelson, if you would mind leading us in the pledge, please. Patrick, oh, we actually have one. There's one there, actually, a real one.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Jill, would you please call the roll? Are you able to hear with the microphones? Okay.
Christine Judakis, Russell Sharp, Meredith Saltanicourt,
present.
Barbara Jones,
present.
Paul Eichner, Heather Kniff,
here.
Lotha Krishnayer,
present.
Mandy Wells, Roland Holt, Roosevelt Walters,
here.
Philip Busey,
here.
Barry Buten,
here.
Sheila Rose,
here.
Ron Aronson,
here.
Mary Curtis, Michael Petruccio, Alan Ehrlich, Marsha Ellison, Michael Rayner.
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I have,
if we can have the interpreters come to the front, please, to offer your services for those who may need it.
Maria Cano, Spanish interpreter. Maria Cano, interpreter de español.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Jude Burmont. If you help anybody who speaks Asian Creole and need help with translation, most welcome to speak Sicilian. That is my name. So, that's able to suffer that message.
The agenda for this evening was distributed to all members. Are there any questions or amendments to the agenda? With no questions, I'm going to, without objection, the agenda for this meeting is adopted as presented. Approval of the June 21st, 2012 minutes. The minutes of June 21st, 2012 meeting were distributed to all members of the packet for this meeting, which is attachment 5. Just prior to the meeting, however, they were replaced with some amendments. And Patrick, if you could read what those corrections are into the record.
Yes, on the amended minutes that were provided to you this evening, on page 6 of 57, on page 8 of 57. On the second bullet, the change was by Mr. Busey to say that to me any fair plan would have at least one 50% plus one African American population district as we have now. Also, on the comments section by that, on page 9 of 57, Mr. Busey's comment was changed to state that he stated that the Voting Rights Act protected voting rights for races, ethnicities, and language minorities. And then the overall change for the meeting minutes was in section 10 under new business. Instead of stating that the times were selected and approved by the committee, the motions were entered in full by who stated the motion and who seconded the motion. For both the for all of the meetings in August, September, and October. And finally, on page 10 of 57, the motion was made by Mr. Busey to have staff extend the mapping assistance due date to July 11th. Mr. Polk seconded, and the motion was approved. Those are the changes.
Mr. Busey.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to direct this to
Mr. Sybil,
into a microphone.
Does this work?
We're still missing one of the Lauderdale Lakes commissioners, I believe.
All the comments by the commissioners were put in there. Can you check?
Okay, there were three Lauderdale Lakes commissioners, and the two here were Roy Williams and Gloria Lewis, and the other, her last name is Lauderdale Lewis.
I think her name is William.
Okay.
William is the other.
All right, I will we'll check and enter those in.
Thank you.
Do you want to table the minutes then until the next meeting so I can be corrected, or?
I don't, as long as it shows that she spoke in one sentence, which is
terrible. Our parliamentarian is actually saying we can approve the minutes and correct them at the next meeting at that time as well.
That's fine.
So, okay. Then what I would ask then is if there's, are there any other corrections to the minutes?
Just some minor spelling of names. Ms. Gwen Denton has the name changed on page 8 of 57. I originally had her name down as Gwen Denton. It's correct, the name correction.
Okay.
I would make a motion to approve as amended.
Second. It's been moved by Ms. Rose and seconded by Latha. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion has passed. Okay. I just want to apologize this evening. I was not feeling well, and still not to this point, so I'm a little slow, and I'm wearing my glasses, so I don't have my peripheral vision. So I just ask everybody to be patient. I also want to ask, I know at the last meeting, a member from the public and also from the committee voiced concern not being able to hear. So I just ask that any kind of sidebar conversations be kept to a minimum, recognizing that some of us cannot hear when there's other noises around. So I know that several of us are not feeling well today. With that, we're going to move into the public hearing portion. And if, Mr. Busey, if you can lead us into an overview of the redistricting process.
Okay, is
that in here? Yeah. Here. What we do during this part is we ask representatives who reside in the district where we're holding the public hearing to provide a quick overview to remind members of the public of the redistricting process. So, Mr. Busey.
Thank you, Chair Rainer. Good evening and welcome. The redistricting steering committee consists of 19 appointees, two appointed by each school board member and one by the superintendent of schools. The Broward County Redistricting Steering Committee was established by a resolution approved by the school board of Broward County on October 18, 2011, to study the matter of changing the boundaries of the 7 single-member districts based upon the 2010 census and advise the school board on recommended changes. With your help, the committee will develop a 7 single-member redistricting plan from the data received from the 2010 federal decennial census and make its report to the school board of its recommended changes no later than the first regular school board meeting in December 2012. The recommendations of the committee are advisory only and are subject to revisions and amendments by the school board. And three major sections here. First is, what is redistricting? Redistricting is the process of redrawing the lines of districts from which public officials are elected, so there is balance in the population within the newly formed districts. The goal of this process is to ensure that residents have equal representation on the school board. School board member voting districts does not impact school attendance boundaries or bus transportation. Next section, current U.S. Census data. According to the 2010 U.S. Census, school board member districts 2, 3, 5, and 7 are above or below 5% of the total district population average. Proposed changes to the single board member districts will modify the geographic areas in which school board members in districts 1 through 7 are elected. seats 8 and 9 are countywide and will not be impacted by districting. New single-member board districts should be equal in population as possible while providing all citizens the right to be equally represented. Next slide. The committee, and this is guiding principles, the committee in developing its recommendations shall take into consideration the school board redistricting guiding principles when building new single-member districts. The school board has recently amended the guiding principles to allow for more clarifying language. Florida state law requires the following single board member redistricting requirements. New school board member districts must be drawn so that their populations are as close to being equal as possible. Changes must take place in an odd-numbered year. Serving board members would not be disqualified for the term in which they were elected should a change affect their residence qualifications. And finally, there are to be 7 single school board member districts represented by members who are elected from the district in which they reside. 2 additional board members will represent the county as a whole for a total of 9 school board members. Compliance with Public Law 89110, Voting Rights Act of 1965, is also required to be followed. And the following board constitutional provisions may also be considered when drawing new districts. A, no apportionment plan or individual district shall be drawn with the intent to favor or disfavor a political party or an incumbent, and districts shall not be drawn with the intent or result of denying or abridging the equal opportunity of racial or language minorities to participate in the political process or to diminish their ability to elect representatives of their choice, and shall consist of contiguous territory. B, unless compliance with the standards in this subsection conflicts with the standards in subsection A or with federal law, districts shall be as nearly equal in population as is practicable, districts shall be compact, and districts shall, where feasible, utilize existing political and geographic boundaries. C, the order in which the standards within subsections A and B of this section are set forth shall not be read to establish any priority of one standard over the other within that subsection. And next slide. The Broward School District will also look at guiding principles important to the Broward County School District, which include bullet point 1 is alignment of single member districts with the high school innovation zones allows school communities to be represented by one board member with minimal disruption whenever possible. Next point, alignment of single member districts with equal numbers of schools within a district whenever possible, and preservations of communities of interest whenever possible. The process. Beginning in January and February 2012, the redistricting committee will hold orientation meetings and public hearings to familiarize the public with the process of single board member redistricting in Broward County. The committee will meet no more than twice per month at no fewer than 7 public meetings held throughout the county from March through July 2012. The public is encouraged to attend any or all of these meetings where draft proposals will be presented and commented on. For more information on how to create and submit a map or alternative, or just to comment on an existing one, please visit the district's redistricting website at www.broward.k12.fl.us/redistricting or telephone Patrick Sibley at 754-321-2480. Public mapping workshops and public 2-hour mapping meetings may be attended to assist you in the creation of new single-member maps. Following the school board member election process in the fall, the school board will workshop map proposals they would like to see move forward. The process is scheduled to conclude when the school board votes on a new single board member district map at a regular school board meeting in early 2013. And finally, thank you for your being here today and for your involvement in this important process. And I also want to say welcome to Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Busey. I have a few additional instructions. Presenters of map alternatives will have up to 5 minutes for your presentations. Following each map alternative being presented, members of the public wishing to comment on the specific map alternative will have up to 2 minutes. Those wishing to speak should use the microphone located at the front of the auditorium. Speakers will be called to the microphone by name in the order in which they appear on the sign-in sheets. Speakers are requested to state their name and address before beginning their comments. Each speaker is limited to 2 minutes and will be advised when 1 minute remains. When the time limit has been reached, speakers will be notified by the chair to conclude their comments. Speakers may comment on the presented map alternative immediately following each presentation. Comment should be limited to only the map alternative being presented. After the committee has heard all the map alternatives noticed on the agenda and public comments on those map alternatives, the public will provide an additional opportunity under public comment to make a general comment on the redistricting process or comment on a map alternative previously presented. Speakers are asked to refrain from the use of inappropriate language or behavior. We ask that you model the district 8 characteristic traits: cooperation, responsibility, citizenship, kindness, respect, honesty, self-control, and tolerance. We are asking all speakers and audience members to extend every courtesy to each other and the members of the redistricting steering committee, and the same courtesies will be extended to you. On our today actually was the deadline for any maps to be submitted. So at this point, no additional maps can be submitted other than that are in queue right now that staff is finalizing. However, we will be having those maps presented and the public will be providing comments on those. If we can now go to the presentation of the one map that's on our agenda for tonight, which is Map Alternative 6, presented by Mr. Ron Aronson. From the podium.
Thank you, Michael. Before I get started, I want to thank Patrick. Drawing a map is a lot harder than it looks. So, spending 2 hours and not getting everything you want is it was a real challenge. And I just took basically one thing into consideration, even though there's a lot to look at, but the numbers somewhat balanced out. The first meeting that I came to, maybe 3 meetings ago, you talked about community of interest. And I've heard my wife speak about what they do in Coconut Creek. She's the city commissioner of Coconut Creek. And they have quarterly meetings with all the representatives, principals of each school in the city. So what I did, and Patrick, you have it up by the cities. What I tried to do, is Alex, thank you, is try to get as many cities, all cities, within each district. And I started at the northwest corner of the county, and I worked down. And as you can see, there's about 16 cities that are in 100% of the district. As you come down District 4, District 4, we started Parkland, Coral Springs, North Lauderdale, and Tamarack. It's 100%. The city is in the district. Going down Sunrise, we got probably 95% of it within Weston, Davie, Southwest Ranches, and the majority of Cooper City, and so on and so forth. So that was my main objective. District 7, we got Margate, Coconut Creek, Deerfield Beach, Hillsborough Beach, Lighthouse Point, and the majority of Pompano. No, I'm sorry. Well, some part of Pompano. And that's where, when we got to the eastern side of the county, it started getting difficult. But Patrick, can you flip over to the numbers? We stayed within plus or minus 5%.
If anybody's having a problem reading the screens, the materials are in print and they're out in the lobby. So if you can't read along, there are copies in the back of the room.
We stayed within the plus or minus 5% of the district numbers-wise, and it looks like most of the numbers balanced out the way we've been speaking. What this is going to take is probably the committee, if the committee chooses to go this route, to massage some of those back onto the map. But the idea, when, as I said, the first meeting that I attended and you talked about community of interest, that kind of intrigued me. And then seeing what Coconut Creek does with the schools, it was kind of like balanced it out. And I guess Sheila Rose might have some other comments since she's here. Works within the city and also has attended a number of meetings.
I'm sorry, just to note for the record, Marcia Ellison, who's our vice chair, is joining by phone, so I apologize for that.
Oh, okay. That's it. I mean, I tried to keep it as simple as possible, but Patrick, if you could get back to the map of municipalities. We got another guest down here, right?
You just want to be part of the club.
Is it a resident of Davy? So, again, if the board or the committee chooses something similar to that, it's going to take a lot of massaging on the east side of Broward County. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are there any members of the public who would like to make a comment on the map alternative that was just presented? Sir, if you just come to the microphone and state your name and your address.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Steve Roy Cruz, 5120 Southwest 195th Terrace, Southwest Ranches, also in town council.
Hold the microphone a little closer. So we're also having this for the record.
And also on the town council of Southwest Ranches. I want to make a comment on this map, and it applies to most of the maps. And I appreciate the effort that went into that and the theory behind trying to go by the town boundaries, because I think that makes a lot more sense. However, Southwest Ranches is in a unique position because we don't have schools, public schools in our town. And so when the line is drawn where it is here, our schools are generally speaking to the south of us, the way it's district right now, or bordered right now. And so what this does is it gives us a, we're in one district, and our representative is in another district, the actual schools that we, that our students are going to. So we don't have representation from that standpoint. We are talking to a talk to the member that we would be voting for is not those schools that go into his or her district. So that's our concern. We do have, we'll talk about other plans, but just so you know, I want that to be aware. And it fits, frankly, all of these plans except for number 5. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other member of the public who would like to speak to this map? No other members that would like to speak to this map? Okay. Committee members, Mr. Busey.
Thank you. I want to commend Mr. Aronson for stating his objectives and accomplishing it to a very high degree. I don't particularly agree with the municipalities being protected as much as I think the innovation zones should. That's a kind of a controversy that will probably be continued up through the school board itself when they look at these. The one thing I want to ask about has to do with when you talk about massaging, because any of these maps, you know, can be tweaked this way or that. And I'm just wondering, since you've been through this process, what's most feasible in your mind to let's say the committee says, okay, well, we like this in every possible respect, except, you know, it does something we don't like. Can we get someone to adjust that, or tweak it? Do you think that is something a committee really could do as a whole, or should it be sort of drafted out to one person to do, come back with a suggested amended alternative?
I'm sorry, Ms. Busey, what was your question, Jim? So Mr. Onson?
Yeah,
just restate it for me. So
you talked about massaging and making some improvements in something. It could apply to any of these maps. Can that be done as a group practically, or should it be kind of farmed out to one person?
Well, let me respond to that, actually. Part of our process,
I'm asking Mr. Aarons because he mentioned the topic of massaging.
I can tell you what the committee has the ability to do, but Mr. Aarons can give his recommendation if you'd like to top that.
I'd like to hear that from him first.
As the first thing I said, I wanted to commend Patrick for his capability in seeing how difficult it was to do what I did. I think with a professional that knows how to use the software and give him the general idea to bring to the committee would be a lot stronger than somebody else that's not a professional to do. I mean, it's just, I was very impressed with the software we were dealing with, but it's a very time-consuming, and when it gets down to the end and the committee agrees to agree on a concept or a map, and it does need to be tweaked, I believe staff should work on it and then bring those.
I mean, one of the things, as we get into our August calendar, when we look at coming up with committee recommendations, we can be taking many of the existing maps in addition to coming up with fresh maps of our own as a full committee. So there is that time to take ideas from maps that have been submitted or taking maps that have been submitted as a starting point even for that.
But when I say tweak, it's basically lines and numbers. That's as long as we have to stay up plus or minus 5%,
right,
then I think staff will have a better grasp on it than most of us. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chair, could I go back to my question?
Yes.
And because it's related to what you said, I was really comparing whether one person could do the tweaking or us as a group across the table here. And was that what you were going to respond to?
Well, I think the tweaking that's ever going to happen is going to happen in the direction of the committee. So we're not just going to say, staff, just come back with something. Staff's not going to want that. Staff's going to want clear direction from us as to what they would like the committee to do. The staff does not want it to become a staff map.
So at this point, no one's visualizing us working on this as a group.
I visualize this work. It's going to be a very interesting meeting. And so that's why those extra meetings were important to have, so that we can have that rich discussion and coming up with something and doing it live. And that's one of the reasons why we'll be, for most of the meetings, with the exception of one, we'll be in KCW, where staff will have the internet access capability with their system software so that they can actually carve the lines and create them right there in front of us at our direction.
You just answered my question.
Yeah. Any other questions or statements from the committee?
Yes.
Let me just come down the line then. Michael?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, fellow committee member, for this map, and I appreciate it because I know how extremely hard these are. And going back to that point that I made at the last meeting and continuing, is that why I love the cities being together, the innovation zones in this current map, there's 15 different innovation zones that are being broken up into different cities. And I know when we put the cities together, that's the unfortunate problem is that there's 15 Coral Springs, Northeast, et cetera, that are in multiple school districts. The current map has 13 of those, The lowest map, which we spoke about last month, was alternate number 5, which only has 10 innovation zones being broken up between the school board districts. And that's all I wanted to say.
Mr. Walters.
Mr. Chair, it's a couple of things, and it's not necessarily to the map making as much as it is to the committee. When I observed alternative set map, there was two problems I had with it. One, at least two, if not three, of the district violate the rule of compactness. Two, if the same district violate community of interest, and mainly those are District 3 and District 5. And it was spoken about living in one district and your school in another district. Doesn't matter how you draw these maps, somebody is not going to be going to school with the same board member where they live. It's not going to happen. We just have to face that as being a problem. There's no way to fix it because innovation zones are too large to have everybody represented by the same school board member where they live and where their children go to school. And then when you finish ironing out that problem, then they'd also be saying, well, my elementary kid got one commissioner and my high school kid got a different commissioner. That is also going to happen, no matter who draws these maps. That's going to happen. And the other thing that I wanted to comment on was the innovation zone versus city boundaries versus community of interest is the other issue that I think as a board is going to be, you call them interesting meetings, heated meetings, whatever those, the adjectives you put on the meeting that we will have in August, that will be the spearhead of it all.
Interesting meetings.
Interesting meetings in August.
Is there anything else?
No, sir. Thank you, Chief.
Okay. Marilyn.
Yes, I wanted to thank Phil for presenting this map because...
It was wrong.
I'm sorry. For wrong. To present this map because, frankly, we've heard from a lot of cities. And so at least we have something on paper that we can take a look at. My concern, and having attended various meetings over the last few months, is that zones are going to become more and more important to the district as a whole. The district is talking about creating cadres of zones, assigning directors to zones. So that may be something that we want to keep in mind and for the mechanics of this in later meetings.
Any other members?
Just to follow up on Marilyn's point, I think that's something that we should talk about is being involved in local government. I think one of the benefits of a smaller city is that they do have, they have the ability to reach across their boundaries and work with the schools right near them. But as we see the school district itself getting so large and so complex, part of what I think we should be thinking about is how to make this district manageable. And if the school board is indeed going in the innovation zone approach, I mean, unless the long-term determination is that we're going to split the school board up into four districts, I think following some trail of shrinking the size of the bureaucracy is a good trail. And I think the innovation zone is the way to go. So not that I don't support Ron's idea, I do think the cities are important. I think we've all heard over and over again, this is a countywide school district, but our issue is that the county is so large, anything we can do to make it more manageable in size would be beneficial.
Any other committee members on this map? I want to thank everybody for your attention to that map. If we can now move to item 6.3. I'm
I'm sorry, that was 6.3. Item 6.4, this is what happens when I wear my glasses. Public comment on the previously submitted maps. On these maps, we're not going to be having a presentation on them as they have been presented at prior meetings. However, I'm going to call the maps one by one. If any member of the public would like to provide public comment on a particular map, they're more than welcome to do so. First map is map alternative one that was presented by the City of North Lauderdale, Commissioner Jerry Graziosi, on May 9th. Are there any members of the public that would like to provide a comment on map alternative one? Seeing no member indicating interest. Map alternative two and three presented by Roland Folks on June 4th. Are there any members of the public that would like to present public comment on maps two or three? Okay. Moving to map alternative four presented by Roosevelt Walters and Rose Waters on June 21st, 2012. Are there any members of the public that would like to provide public comment on that map? Okay, seeing none. Map alternative five that was presented by Philip Busey on June 21st, 2012. Are there any members of the public that would like to provide a comment? Sir? And if you just come to the microphone and state your name and your address.
Steve Wright Cruz, 5120 Southwest 195th Terrace, Southwest Ranches, Town Council, Southwest Ranches. I did want to comment on number five because that is the one that is bordered in a way that the majority of our town is partnered with the district member that we would be voting for. I do also want to make a follow-up comment. I can see you're a realist, and I appreciate that very much. That certainly what you said is absolutely correct, that there's always going to be situations where this does not line up properly. I think the point that I want to make that sets our situation aside is that in most of these, when the border is along Sterling Road, that 100% of our students in high school will not be represented by their district member. 100% of our middle school students will not be represented by them. And 80% of our elementary school students will not be represented. So that's not a few here and there. That's virtually the entire town. All our kids will not be represented. So that's why, while I agree with you from a realistic standpoint, we'll never get it 100% right, you're absolutely right. I think that we are the exception that is way over on the other side, where we're virtually going to be completely outside of our district code. So that's why. So this map number five is the one that that does make that possible for us, where we would be there. And I think there's another map actually in the works that's already been submitted, number eight, that we're not going to be talking about tonight, but also it fits that category as well. Thank you very much.
Chair, may I comment?
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, first members of the public.
Bob Hartman, I also live in Southwest Ranches. I like the idea of the innovation zones. I hadn't heard that before. It makes a lot of sense. Engagement throughout the process for our children is the best way to go. I also believe in pragmatism. However, there's one thing that the prior maps leave out that this one accomplishes for us, as well as the alternative that hasn't been presented yet. Accountability. If we have a school board member who's not acting in the interests of our community. Community of interest is another important piece as well. And Councilmember Brightcruz has already reinforced how all of our children go south to go to school every day. There's no accountability if we're voting for a school board member that represents more or less the western schools and northeast of us, and a school board member that is representing the interests of the schools that our children go to. So, number five, and a proposal that hasn't been presented yet, will give us the ability to hold the school board member accountable making the decisions or representing us in our area. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to provide comment on map 5? Mr. Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the first gentleman that came up, I didn't say we wouldn't get it right. It won't be pleasing to everybody. We are going to get it right to the best of our ability. So whatever we recommend to this group, we would all feel that that is the most correct map to do. It's not going to please everybody. It's the point I was making. And you spoke about an alternative that have not yet been presented. I think you will find that there's two that's coming that's going to address some of the problems.
Are there any other members of the committee that would like to provide comment on that thought? Okay. At this point, we're going to open the meeting to 6.5 for just general public comment on the redistricting process. It may be anything that the public may want this committee to hear, just general principles or things that we consider. And I invite you to just join up to the microphone if you have anything you'd like to share with us. Do you just state your name and your address for the record?
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Andy Burns. I'm the town administrator for Southwest Ranches. Address is 13400 Griffin Road. I want to thank you all for being here this evening and allowing us the opportunity to be heard. We are a very small but very passionate town, as you can see from our relative turnout here compared to certainly our surrounding cities. So this is something that is very important to us. And as we go forward and consider redistricting, what I'm stressed to you is that important for us of being in one zone, one innovative zone, and one district. It's absolutely something very, very important to us because we are a small voice. We can be overlooked. And so we don't want to be diluted. We want to speak in one voice. And we want to be represented properly and heard. There are some maps that leave Southwest Ranches intact. I do want to touch on Alternative 8, which you alluded to, is in the queue and is coming towards you. It's something that is certainly very important to us, and it's one that we support wholeheartedly. I've looked through your minutes from your previous meeting. I've seen that other small towns share our concern. I saw that with North Lauderdale. I saw that with Lauderdale Lakes. And I will tell you that the Alternative Map 8 also keeps them intact as well. So it's not just as a small town where we have those interests, but there are other towns and cities that have those interests as well. And so I urge you to look very closely at Alternative 8 when it does reach you, because it's not just for us, there are other towns and cities that are small that will benefit by that as well. And I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. You have a...
just your name.
I'm sorry, I apologize. Jeff Nelson, address is 14900 Foxy Drive in the unique and wonderful town of Southwest Ranches. I am also the mayor for the town of Southwest Ranches. You all have a very difficult job, and we certainly respect and admire the time that you put into this process and your attempt to try and reconcile all these recommendations. And coming from that perspective and being a public official, I know how difficult at times that can be. So for that, we certainly recognize your work and your commitment to try and do the best you can under the circumstances that are presented to you. Patrick has been absolutely wonderful, accessible. We've had an opportunity to speak to him. In fact, we have provided some previous documentation that the town administrator has forwarded to you for consideration as well. Just to piggyback on what our town administrator, Anna Burns, had said, and a previous council member, and I suspect other members of the town of Southwest Ranches. Obviously, it's important that we do have a unified voice, and I certainly respect what you are saying, Mr. Waters, and trying to reconcile all these issues. But certainly supportive of 5 and 8, as well as the other smaller municipalities that are also included in part of this process that have the potential of a unified voice and do the best we can to eliminate this disconnect while we are a part of a zone, as Councilmember Brightcruz had said previously, that at the different levels there is a tremendous disconnect where our students attend school in that representation as opposed to the town of Southwest Ranches and where we're located as well. Again, we appreciate it. You've got a very difficult job, and you can keep us together. We prefer 8. We like 5. We would appreciate it very much. And I thank you very much for your time again, Patrick. Thank you very much for your time and accessibility. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Gary Jablonski, 6601, Southwest 178th Avenue, Town of Southwest Ranches, and I'm also a member of the Town Council. And I'd like to thank you all for this is a lot of work. I can see you have a lot of important decisions to make. And I'd like to share some concerns that our residents have put forward. You've heard a lot from the previous speakers, members of our town, and I'm sure you can see that we're pretty much a majority of the audience right now. And we're very, very passionate, and we're very concerned, and this is our chance to voice that to you. And we are very concerned that we have adequate representation in our entire line of schools, from kindergarten all the way through to high school, and that we have a school board member that's accountable to us. And I won't bore you with a lot of details of things that have already been said, but we are, under most scenarios, completely bounded out of that sort of representation. And alternative 5, alternative, I believe, 7 and 8. 8 is sort of like our wish list, for lack of a better way of saying it. I think it's one that pretty much balances everything out, and a lot of work was put into it, and I would appreciate it if you all would consider that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak on general comments? I'm going to close that portion of the meeting. Going into the chair's report, I first want to say that thank you for coming. I know you were, I believe Southwest Ranches Educational Advisory was the first or second presentation I gave on the redistricting process and when we began starting this. It was a delightful group of people to do it in front of. And you definitely get to learn, when you live in one part of Broward County, learn what some of the struggles and frustrations are in other parts of the county that you normally don't do business, reside, or anything in, except maybe ride a horse every now and then. And I can tell you that, you know, the comments, committee members, if you look through the your packet, you'll see that our online comments have certainly been used over the last month, especially by residents of the Southwest Ranches, to provide some comments. And I really would like to make sure that committee members familiarize yourselves with all of the comments that we are getting online that may not be at these meetings. And I want to thank the residents of that town for taking advantage of that medium as well to provide us input. You know, this committee, we really strive to make sure that, you can see our attendance is not robust, I'll just put it politely. And it's been a thing we've struggled with throughout this process, but we've tried to make sure that there's multiple ways in which people can participate, realizing that not everybody wants to sit in an auditorium and just listen to a bunch of talking. So we do want to thank you for that. I did receive your letter. And, you know, the process is still going on. We still have more maps. I believe, Patrick, we have a total of 12 maps. So this committee will be hearing a total of 12 map alternatives, which the remainder of those will be submitted at our next meeting. So our next meeting will be a little bit lengthy, and I asked committee members to be patient, but we knew that when everybody knew that the homework assignment was due on a certain date, that everybody would be rushing to get that homework assignment in. So. But we're getting those maps in, which this committee has been really wanting and desiring. And, you know, a lot of the input we've had heard, you know, between, I think, our last meeting in District 5, you know, we've really heard a lot about what the impact this has on different smaller cities, and has really helped us see things a little bit more clear as we go through this process. So I'm glad we haven't rushed through anything at that point.
What I'm going to say at this point, committee members, is at the next meeting, what I'd like to do on as an agenda item, and I'd like for the committee to think about any questions that you would like us to ask our attorney. As you're aware, the board has contracted with a constitutional attorney, is it? There's a special attorney they've contracted with out of Orlando to help with the redistricting efforts. And what I'd like is any questions that you might have. I know my specific question that I voiced at the last meeting was, what is that benchmark when we look at protecting the rights of minorities to be able to elect other minorities in seats? You know, what is that minimum benchmark that we should actually be considering? Or what is that minimum percentage when we look at the numbers? I know that Mr. Folks raised the question with how now, I'm going to get it wrong, he raised a concern with now the classification of Hispanics, white or non-white, so that those are other areas that we really need to be mindful of. So if the committee members can come prepared to our next meeting with literally a list of as many questions as you might have for the attorney so that we can either have responses from that attorney in writing or the attorney possibly available by phone, you know, to give us a presentation on that. The other thing I'm going to be requesting of the attorney's office is an update. As we are all aware, you know, redistricting went through the Supreme Court based on the Senate maps, and it's really to make sure what were the new definitions that were given out when we look at compactness and other things. What was the impact and what were some of the interpretations that we need to be cognizant of as we go forward on this. So that's really all I have at this point as far as the chair's report. If we can now go to staff follow-up.
Julie Patrick.
Hello. On the on your packets for the materials, on pages 47 through 52, scroll. At the last meeting, as requested by committee member Mary Furtick, we went ahead and generated tables for maps 1 through 6, which illustrated where a particular proposed district crossed and split an innovation zone. So we went through and we counted up all the splits, totaled them out, as well as also generated a list of all the schools that are wholly contained within, or how many innovation zones are wholly contained within a particular school board member district. And again, those are for all the proposed maps that we have now, maps 1 through 6. Also the forthcoming maps, that data will be generated for the forthcoming 6 maps that are being generated now.
Yes.
Mr. Sutherland, this is obviously very tedious work. And it's great that you've done this. You did what we asked you to do, but it didn't have a lot of detailed clarification, in my opinion, because some of these splits involve a little sliver.
Correct.
Is there any practical way, without making it totally qualitative, is there maybe a way to quantify
not necessarily, because what would happen is if you were to select it even through population numbers, it's going to be difficult to get any kind of exact population number by that split. So you may end up having an area of that innovation zone in the real world might not have any population, for example, area by the airport. If you were to actually take the geographic data that's assigned, population data for that precinct, if it were to split that, what would happen is it only takes the percentage of that total number. It doesn't give you the exact true real world number. For example, if you were to take, say, a District 6 or a District 3, split Stranahan,
and say a portion of that actually didn't have population in that district, it would be very difficult and it would be a false number to provide, saying that there's actually 1,000 people in that area, where in the real world there may not be. Because what happens is the way that these numbers are generated by the voter precincts, it's a number per that precinct, meaning that people in that precinct could live in one in that area or not. I know it's complicated, but there really isn't a way to denote effectively what areas might be smaller slivers percentage-wise.
Well, I think we know exactly how many people are in these precincts based on the census.
Correct.
So if you take a little teeny sliver that's split off from a innovation zone, put it in the district, move it back to the innovation zone, and you'll know exactly how many people, according to the census, got moved.
That's just going to be a generalized percentage of that area. It's not going to be a real. It's not going to be a really accurate number.
It's a head count. It's the number of people.
Well, it would be a head count based upon the number as a whole for that precinct, not as for what that little area actually is. For example, if you split an area by 10%, it's going to grab 10% of that whole area. And that doesn't mean that 10% of people actually live in that area. It's only a percentage. So the land area that you might grab might be a portion, like I mentioned, might be a portion of the airport. Or you know darn well that there's nobody living at the airport, but if you take that split land-wise, it's going to tell you that there's 40% of that population in that area when there isn't. So
I just don't agree with that at all. We know exactly how many people live in the precinct according to the census, and that's the number we should go by. If we take, as I said, wedge, we're not splitting precincts. We know exactly how many people the census says are in those precincts. So if you move it this way, move it, there's going to be an exact headcount. We're not splitting people. We're not splitting precincts. We've got absolute numbers to work with.
But it's not really an exact headcount. Because like I said, it's based upon a percentage of where that line cuts that precinct.
The census is wrong?
I'm not saying the census is wrong, but if you take... See, if you have a rectangle, and you were to take, there's 1,000 people in here, and you were to take this area and cut it, it's going to estimate that that cut only took 15%, and then tell you 15% of that population is in that area.
It's not going to tell you 15%. It's going to tell you the exact number of people that are going to do something. And that's what you're going to want. I mean, you can figure a percentage out later on, but it's not going to give you a percentage. It's going to give you an exact number.
Based upon the percentage of that land area that was cut.
I'm not talking about percentages. I'm saying when you draw the map and you move a precinct from one district to another, you can see exactly the number of people that have been moved. That's a splinter.
Right, but what we were talking about here are where, say, the innovation zones were cut by districts, not innovation zones cutting, not districts cutting precincts. So what the table illustrates are where the districts split an innovation zone, a high school boundary, meaning that innovation zone is not wholly contained within a proposed district, not a precinct.
But the precinct is, okay, you're saying...
Innovation zones are not wholly precincts.
By nature, innovation zones split precincts.
Correct.
Okay. I understand. I think we're still talking about tiny little slivers in some cases. In other cases, we're kind of cutting up innovation zone in half or a city in half.
Correct.
And sometimes a split is even worse, where you say two-thirds of the innovation zone is on the east side, one-third with the high school is on the
best. You're correct. And when the committee goes to, at least my advice, when the committee goes to look at all the maps, sit down as a group and look at the innovation zone splits, they'll be able to see where those areas are. For example, on this map, you may have a portion of Blanche Neely High School split there. Under discussion or community comments, you may find that that portion, even being split out, may be acceptable. That's up to the committee and eventually up to the school board to decide. At that point, where it actually the innovation zone, you'll when you had mentioned population numbers by precinct, when you go sit down and move those areas of those precincts to actually see if they can fit within that innovation zone, you'll be able to see how many people that takes and if that innovation zone could be wholly contained within that newly proposed district. But that's really a decision to be made by the committee in looking at where some of these areas are. For example, on this map also, that southern area of South Plantation Innovation Zone, where it does split a small area, that might be an area where the plantation community made a few comment to where that's acceptable to. That's something that you'll have to take into account. I don't think that that's something that's based upon the numbers. It may or may not be able to fit in there precinct-wise into that innovation zone. But the tables that are presented in 8.2 just generally show land-wise, in terms of geographic boundary, of where a proposed district splits an innovation zone. And yes, those may be small, little, tiny slivers or areas based upon where the innovation zones cross the precinct.
Well, I appreciate your patience with this. I tried to grasp what you're saying. You're quite right. The innovation zones split precincts, so there's not an absolute quantitative standard, but I think the more quantitative you make it at some point, it might help justify both the cities, because some people want to keep the cities together, other people want to keep the innovation zones. I think it would be great to try to extend this process. And I think almost without exception, and there are some exceptions, cities are going to take an option to be splitting precincts, and the exceptions are going to be pretty rare. So I appreciate all the hard work you did. Thanks for bearing with me while I'm doing the last
one. No problem. If you have any other further questions, can you?
Mr. Arnson, did you have
your one quick comment when I was doing my map, Patrick? It was either two or three precincts were split.
Is it A and B?
Right, and you're correct, Mr. Harrison. That does happen. However, the way that the census in Broward County develops these voter tabulated districts, there are cases where there are precincts that actually cross major intersections, major routes, and actual municipalities. So when Mr. Aronson was actually going through and making the map and wanting to look at a particular area or municipality and look at a voter tabulated district and select it, sometimes found that it would actually cross into another municipality or into another area. So there are cases with that, and that's just the nature of how Broward County came up with the voter tabulated districts.
What was done first? Did the county turn the precincts over to?
Right. They turn them into the census. They submit them to the Census Bureau. And then
no correlations to municipalities?
Well, as far as I know, they do based upon that, and they look at that. And then we receive the information from the Census Bureau.
We don't know the exact history of that draft.
Correct. I don't know the logic as to why they may have created a voter tabulated district or a precinct to cross a major arterial road.
Mr. Aronson, if it's a question you'd like for us to ask the Supervisor of Elections Office, we could have staff forward communication, but
I just found it interesting. I think we
make that specific request
that cross city lines. And, you know, when I was doing mine, so yeah, I'd like to know. Who's on first and who's on second?
And there are also some that are odd where they do seem to follow right along the roadway and kind of reach out and grab.
I mean, the one that jumped out and I'm thinking about right now is on Sterling Road between
right.
Hollywood and Fort Lauderdale, which was a significant number. So, thank you.
Ms. Berger?
Yeah, I want to point out, actually I think this is very helpful because you see looking at each of these charts that some of these schools that are split occur in every single map alternative. I mean, as you were saying, as Mr. Walters was saying, there is no way around that. But other ones really managed to minimize some of that split, or the split that occurs may be minimal. I don't know that we're going to come up with a perfect map, but this is a good way to present this data, and I appreciate you taking the time to do it.
And we will have, like I mentioned, we will have those for the future six maps that are coming out. And that, you know, so you can sit down as a committee and look at that information to generate more maps or modify existing maps.
So I'm thinking, because the cities we've heard from, we've had three cities show up with, you know, and I'm thinking in our last meeting at District 5, we had several people from Lauderdale Lakes, several elected officials come to speak about their city, and I it really pleases me. I didn't speak with earlier, but it just really pleases me to see cities become involved with their schools and take an interest in where they are. And I think it's interesting that it's our smaller cities that are doing that, because for the large part, that's been who we've seen at these meetings.
Don't remind us about the Fort Lauderdale meeting.
I'm sorry. But I think that when we look at these maps, just having this information, it really helps in my mind to eliminate a few of them, because they are such extremes that some of the innovation zones. And so unless that could be reconciled, that would be a long-term, that would be a problem for me long-term when this is the final vote. But I see on others that we can see schools and communities that we know don't want to be split. I'm looking at Boyd Anderson. We have a number of people from Lauderdale Lakes come. So as we move forward with our maps, if there's a way to keep communities, you know, knowing now with this data that which innovation zones are split, and every single map, maybe there's a way to adjust that, make a minor adjustment and keep those communities together.
And also to segue into that, to number 8.2, the public comments, as Chair Wainwright mentioned, we did provide all of the public online comments for the committee, as well as the letters submitted by the commissioner at Southwest Branches. But for the next meetings, what we're going to do are generate a bulleted list of all the concerns that come from the committee meetings, as well as the online comments. Say, for example, smaller municipalities would really love to be in one district. Southwest Branches would love to be in one district, preferably District 2. Lauderdale Lakes likes Map 5 and prefers that map to other maps. And just through that list, as well as other people mentioned that they would like to see innovation zones be the key feature, or since the district is moving towards maybe integrating more with innovation zones, maybe that should be looked at more. But providing that as a bulleted list so that in August, if you sit down and make a map, you'll have that side by side with your maps to make more educated decisions on where to move the lines.
And this is probably totally out of order, it's the wrong place to say this, but if we could just make sure that as we now have 12 maps, we made an effort to send those to our educational contact in each city, broken down by how it impacts that city. Because obviously there are cities that are...
Oh, you're saying now with the chart that has been created?
Well, I'm just saying now we're going to have 12 maps. So I'd just like to make a special effort to tell every city that these are the 12 maps that are under consideration.
Okay.
For the ones where we have contact, which, and I think that's most every city, have some type of educational contact. And also, do the same thing by innovation zones. So over the summer, it's going to be tough, but make an effort to contact the lead principal in each zone and get them this information on how the maps break down by their innovation zone in case they have an interest in it or something.
Patrick's making a note of that now. Any other comments on 8.2?
If I may, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
This is kind of related, so I might as well mention it now. And this would be something I think would help us. The county commission, when they redistrict, they split the number of precincts. And certainly they have the authority to do that, since they eventually approve any precinct changes anyway. And we've got perhaps some cases of precincts that are high population that are split by innovation zones. So we're struggling. I mean, maybe in a couple of months, it might be nice to find out, you know, either, I guess, from the attorney or whoever, are we allowed to recommend a precinct split, which would really make life a lot easier. Yes.
I do that.
Thank you. Jill.
Although I
board's redistricting resolution in front of me. I just read it today that it specifically says full voting precincts.
Yes.
So I can point that back, show where that's at, but that's what they directed the committee to use. And I can't verify whether the county did split because I don't remember that or not, but.
What I would recommend is still bring it back next week as one of the questions to the attorney, and we would then send it for clarification to the board as to whether that would conflict with what the resolution states, or actually our general counsel can respond to that.
I just wanted to mention that, I mean, since we are having some wireless connections problems here, we're in the process of developing these maps and tables for everyone to look at online. Right now they are up online as a PDF file format, but what you would be able to utilize and see will be an actual dedicated web page to the map alternatives that will allow you to select, say, one map alternative on one side of the screen and also select another map alternative on another side of the screen. Once you make that selection, you will be able to click on a map and actually get the demographic data for each map in that specific point shown at the same time. So by having that, what we'll do is we'll bring that tool with us for the August meetings so that when the committee members would like to make a comparison, we can have that information right there, which will help kind of help the flow and the process of flipping through pages. You'll be able to see that online, and that will hopefully be also accessible to the public so they can also utilize that tool.
8.4.
We just wanted to note that the due to school board workshop scheduling, that our December school board workshop has changed to January of 2013.
January 13th?
Which is a specific date
no,
on that yet?
We'll be discussing school. There's only one school board workshop in the month of December 2012, and we're finishing our boundary, school boundary process. So we don't want to be talking about two sets of boundaries in one meeting. It could be very confusing. So we had to push through redistricting that in the first odd year.
Maybe you just let me know when that workshop is as soon as possible so I can note my calendar. So. And of course, the committee is always welcome to attend those board workshops if you're so. Farrell?
I'd like to recognize Mayor Paul, who just came in, and we're sitting in her city, so I'd like to thank him for coming.
Mayor, thank you. Mayor, is there anything while you're here that you'd like to provide a comment on behalf of the city of Davie as far as the redistricting? I forgot it's a town. Okay. Patrick?
Going on to 8.5, as you know, the school district has gone through a reorganization change, and along with that, department staff we're no longer the school boundaries department. We are now the department of student demographics and student assignments, and that has been denoted on all the maps that have dated from July 1st onward. So the previous six maps have school boundaries on them. That's where our department was. We're now the Department of Demographics and Student Assignments.
And I learned that today when I called for you, so I actually like it better than boundaries.
Or DSA.
There's no unfinished business noted on the agenda. Is there any unfinished business of the committee you'd like to remind us that we had that we thought possible? Okay. Any new business, item 10? I hear the music already started. Marilyn? I'm sorry?
No.
Right
here.
Well, yeah, as everybody, Barry Putin is our newest member from school board member. Lawyer Rich Levinson, our vice chair of the school board.
That means three ACLU members on the committee. We're taking over.
So,
Before we adjourn, what I do want to do is remind the committee, and I'm looking on my calendar to make sure I have it correct here. I know last time I had not, along with several others. Our next committee meeting is July 25th, Wednesday, at 6 p.m., and it's at Deerfield High.
Yes.
And I look forward to seeing everybody there. And I want to thank everybody in the audience again for your participation. You're welcome to attend the meeting in District 7, where the remainder of the maps will be presented and provide public comment. You also can use the online format to provide public comment that we discussed earlier that your city has so well done in Southwest Ranches. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, just as a point of clarification, on the agenda, on the meeting packets, on the roster sheet, we just noticed that it still stated the old location of Deerfield Beach Commission Chambers. We just wanted to make sure that everybody knows that District 7 meeting is at Deerfield Beach High School.
Sure. Yeah, whatever was on the flyer is still the correct date. That was just a typo there. With there being no more business, I want to thank you, everybody, and this meeting is now adjourned.